Intelligent talk, 1170 KCBQ, and streaming on the web at
kcbq.com.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you have problems when our government blurs separation between church and state, and you fear that the rights of atheists or any other unreligious people are in jeopardy. Actually, it seems to be the opposite. In fact, these last couple of decades have seen an onslaught against Christian freedoms at this moment. In Phoenix, Arizona, there's a priest who was arrested for playing his church bells. Yes, you heard me correctly. Bishop Richard Painter from the Cathedral of Christ the King in Phoenix has been given a 10-day suspended sentence but 2 years probation for allowing his church bells to chime every hour between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., as they had been doing for years before somebody decided it violated their civil liberties. People, the ice cream truck in town makes louder noise, but ice cream doesn't cause people to worry. Somehow today's generation seems to feel that the mere sound of a church bell is going to lead to the imprisonment of atheists. So to satiate our worries, what do? We imprison a priest instead. Thankfully, the news is much better lately in San Diego County with a story that has rocked and awakened our entire country. Last week on my program, we talked about a pastor and his wife who were told that they could no longer hold Bible studies in their home without a license. I'm happy to say that order has been rescinded, and I'm also proud to have Pastor Dave Jones and his wife Mary Jones as guests this afternoon, and we'll bring Pastor Jones and his wife on in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. I had a bit of a cultural experience myself just a few days ago, a very pleasant time, touring the San Diego Zoo with my girlfriend Nancy. We had one of those two-for-one bus passes and got on top of a double-decker bus for a 30-minute tour. Is this starting to sound a little bit like the beginning of Gilligan's Island? A 30-minute tour. Anyway, the line moved quickly, and we worked on the bus, seated on the bus in no time at all, but that should have been my first clue that something was up. If it seems too good to be true, it is too good to be true. 30 minutes later, the tour was not over. 30 minutes later, we still had not moved. I guess those fortunate enough to get on the bus early have to wait for every single seat to be filled. It reminded me of times when I would fly home to San Diego Airport from the East Coast or the Northwest. Hopping on a shuttle, I would be the first to jump on and ask to be taken to Santee. First, the driver would circle the airport endlessly in the hopes of picking up more passengers. Unfortunately, Santee is quite a distance from the airport, the end of the line, in fact, and passengers were taken home not in the order they got on the van, but in the order of the next closest neighborhood. This means I always had the unique honor of being the first to get on and the last to get off. Such thoughts were on my mind as I awaited the departure of Zoo Bus 707. I also thought about art, history, politics, the primary produce of Finland, and consistent time planes contrasted with alternate quantum realities, because much floats into the mind when eternity is your waiting companion. Finally, a pleasant-sounding driver tour guide crackled her voice over the intercom. Hi, my name is Terry, and I will be with you for the next 30 minutes. I turned to Nancy and said she's already been with us for 30 minutes. Nancy laughed. That's why she's my girlfriend. She laughs when I make those little comments. We finally did take off and travel, I believe, for a whole 2 minutes before stopping again. Terry, the tour guide, explained, we need to wait until security brings us a man who missed the bus
and wants to be reunited with his family. Well, Nancy and I couldn't believe our ears. Now, we were going to stop because a man couldn't get on board a bus on time. This bus, of all buses, this bus, which delayed its departure for so long, we could have pitched a tent and brought out a Coleman lantern. And because he couldn't get here on time, we had to delay a tour. He couldn't get on the next bus. His family couldn't get off the bus to join him. Now, look, I believe in reuniting families, but this man hadn't exactly been a prisoner in Zimbabwe for 12 years. He was merely late for a bus. If he were some little kid freaking out over being lost and separated from mommy and daddy, that would have been different. But this was a full-grown man. And it was at least another 10 minutes before the tearful reunion took place and Zoolander Express started its motor again. People, this is the age we live in, where the tail wags the dog. If a man misses a bus, it never occurs to anyone that he might just have to catch the next bus. Instead, people who boarded on time have to have their trip delayed. If one kid in school is allergic to peanut butter, nobody is allowed to eat peanut butter. If only a handful of people feel threatened by a cross on the hill or a public manger scene, nobody else gets to look at it either. As a Christian, I do believe in mercy, and I'm more than happy to extend flexibility for unique circumstances. But I also believe our culture has become so oversensitive, so guilt-ridden, and so unfamiliar with common sense that we quickly bow to the absurd. This may be carrying the compassion just a little too far, or at least farther than that zoo bus seemed to be traveling. We bend over backwards to make things convenient for one customer and never seem to notice that in doing so, we just made matters incredibly inconvenient for about 50 other customers. Usually those are the 50 who played by the rules. An excellent example of compassion misplaced. While waiting for Ozzy to be reunited with Harriet, David, and Ricky, our tour guide repeated words I had heard so many times before on the runway, where the pilot explained that we were the 10th in a series of planes ready to take off, but that we will be off, of course, in just a few minutes. Or restaurants where waitresses were explaining that my long-awaited order was coming right up. Here are the magic words. We appreciate your patience. Doesn't that sound familiar? We appreciate your patience. How many of you are actually really feeling patient when they say that? I know patience is a virtue, but let's just be honest. How many of you are really feeling patient? Aren't they aware that you're not patient? Isn't that why they say it? Because they're kind of begging you to be patient. Okay, now look, this was only a zoo ride. It was not important enough to make a scene over. So I didn't. I made no scene. But I did use my imagination at the time because I sure had the time to use my imagination. In another life, I might have said, Terry, the tour guide, please don't thank me for patience which doesn't actually exist. Instead, why not try something new? Apologize for the lunatic decisions which contribute toward understandable impatience. Now that might be a refreshing tour in the zoological gardens of life.
I do believe it. I do believe that's true. A light and tumble journey from the east side to the park, just a fine and fancy ramble to the zoo. But you can take a crosstown bus if it's raining or it's cold, and the animals will love it if you do.
Looking to build your own website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
Call Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll-free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
So, you're more beautiful.
My guests today are David and Mary Jones from South Bay Community Church. Pastor Jones and Mary Jones, welcome to our program.
Hello, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's an honor to have both of you. First of all, let me thank you for the fight you were willing to have. A lot of times Christians roll over and play dead when these things happen. It's much to your credit that you were willing to call the ADF and show some courage.
Thank you. Well, we're glad it turned out as good as it has so far.
Well, people all over the country have heard your story by now, but very few have heard it from you. And I've heard contradictory versions. So let's start by hearing first a little bit about your church, and then after that, the Bible study in your home. Now, your church is South Bay Christian Fellowship?
No, South Bay Community Church.
Oh, South Bay Community Church. Where's that located?
2400 Euclid's. It's in the corner of National City.
Okay. And your home is nearby, I take it?
It's about 2.5 miles away in Bonita.
Okay. So how long have you been pastor here at this church?
28 years.
Okay, and for those, we have an audience of Christians and secularists alike, so just in a few sentences, tell us what your church believes, because I know a lot of people today are getting all freaked out about what Christians believe. What are the beliefs of your church, primarily?
Well, you know, first of all, we're not a denomination, and that's why it's all called South Bay Community Church, but we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe he's God's son, and he's, you know, that we call the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, so the triune God. We believe in salvation, and I think that's the main issue, is that we need to trust in Christ, Jesus Christ, to be saved.
Now, there are a lot of people today that when they hear Christians talk about salvation through Jesus, and then they hear Muslims talk about their devotion to Muhammad, they start thinking, oh, well, just as Muslims have this command to spread Islam with the sword, Christians do the same thing. What would you say to somebody who had that kind of concern?
I believe that's not what we believe. I mean, I think that has happened in history some, that there's been conflict, and yet when the conflict that we have is a spiritual conflict, and it's the battle that we have with, you know, trusting in Christ, the fight against sin, the fight against maybe you would say the disbelief of the world.
Okay, now in this Bible study, this was a time of what, studying the scripture and maybe a time of prayer as well?
Yeah, that's correct. At about 6:45, we have dinner. There's somewhere around 10 people that maybe come about that time for dinner. By 7:15, there's somewhere around 15 people. We have about 15 minutes of singing and worship. Then at 7:30, we start our Bible study, usually a couple testimonies and praises and that. We have a Bible study till approximately 8:30, and that concludes. The Bible study is right now, and we're going verse by verse through James.
Okay, and you've been doing this for a few years, this Bible study?
We've had it for about 5 years.
Okay, now I happen to know that there are thousands of Bible studies or home groups from churches, large and small, all over San Diego, and probably millions all over the country. So this wasn't particularly an unusual thing that you were doing.
No, it's not an unusual thing. And again, your questions you asked a little bit earlier were, you know, we're not some whacked out group that would set up and, you know, be sacrificing animals here. Or, you
no
know,
Kool-Aid in the wilderness.
Pardon me?
No Kool-Aid in the wilderness.
Yeah, no Kool-Aid in the wilderness. No strange events. It was a verse by verse Bible study. It's, you know, friends and family. Just it's not even open really to the public. No one would know about it. We don't send out open invitations. Matter of fact, something that's important to know is that about 6 months ago we had grown and were in the 20s, and I mentioned to the group we were getting too big for our home. Why don't we sponsor a group off? And so we started another Bible study, and about 6 people went off, and so that's why we were down to 15.
And so you had 15 people coming. Now, because I know some of the attorneys at the Western Center for Law, I know the truth, but I know that the public has gotten contrary stories. Didn't the
Didn't the county at first try to say that this had more to do with parking and more to do with a cul-de-sac situation? Didn't they try to downplay that it was really about a Bible study?
Well, yes, it's basically actually maybe the opposite. At first, they said it was, I mean, in our conversations with them at least, at first they said it was, you know, just the Bible study. We did receive word later that the complaint that they had was that it was 30 to 40 cars that were parked. The complaint came from a non-neighbor, a visitor, who was there, and we've never had 30 to 40 cars. Bob, we've never had 20 cars. We counted them up, how many people attend, and maybe the most we ever had was 15 cars. But that is where this, you know, what initiated this issue, and it was a complaint from a non-neighbor of a parking situation. However, when we talked to them for probably 5 weeks, the word parking never came up. It's not on the citation. It's not on the accompanying pages that they sent us with the citation. It wasn't there when we talked, when they came to our door and asked us, you know, if we had a Bible study. The only issue at the beginning was, do you have a Bible study? And, you know, then you have to cease and stop the religious assembly.
Okay, this is a fascinating story and an important one. I want to back up and fill in some of the details. Now, first of all, this guest or friend of a neighbor who complained, is this somebody you ever got a chance to meet or have a conversation with?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've known him for a couple of years. Let me give you a clear picture, and I'm glad, again, Bob, we have the time to be on with you, because there is different sides of the story coming out that are just not true and what the county has painted. So let me give it to you real briefly.
Absolutely.
268 feet of private driveway to my house and two other homes. So we really only have two neighbors that could be impacted because of our Bible study. We have one on our left, one on our right. We are in the middle. The neighbor to our southeast, which would be to our left, they have a friend that comes over. He spends the night sometimes, and he's the one who came over. We've met him before, and he had come over and claimed, he saw me one day, and he claimed that somebody had backed into his car, and he'd already had it fixed, though, and he showed me a bill for $220. Well, we believed, in order to be a good Christian testimony, this man was not a believer, that, you know, we just thought it'd be good to give him a check. So we did. We gave him a check for $220 and kind of end of case.
So you weren't even sure if he was telling the truth, but you decided to take the higher ground and just pay for it. And
that's absolutely correct. We weren't sure. Matter of fact, I asked him, were, you know, could have this happened at a parking lot? Did he just not notice it in that? And, you know, the answer was no, it had to be that night. I asked him, well, where was he parked and how did it happen? He didn't know. He had spent the night. But one of our people that attend the Bible study said, well, he was parked in the middle of the driveway. You know, he came down, didn't find any place, so he just parked in the middle.
Now, in any of your conversations with him over time, did you have any reason to believe that he might have had his own agenda, that maybe the problem was Christianity?
No, what had happened, though, since was that our other neighbor on our, what I would say, our right side, what he has come over to our house just the other day, matter of fact, after almost this whole event has been over, he came over and told us that he met this man in the bank, and I believe he had the check in his hand. He was at Wells Fargo, and he said that he'd had this incident, and the neighbor said, well, how do you know it was even them? What could have happened someplace else? And gave the same argument I had. And then he said, the guy just kind of matter-of-factly said, well, I just took it down the street, had some guy pop it out, and I went to the pastor, and I got $220 out of the pastor, like, ha-ha.
So, oh, brother, so you were nice enough to pay for it and take him at his word, and then he's kind of stabbing you in the back by bragging about how he kind of ripped you off.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. That's at least what the other neighbor said. The other neighbor's a doctor. He's a very professional man. I think have no reason to not believe him. But we haven't confronted the individual who said we had his car. If I do see him, I might talk to him a little bit about it. We've had a peaceable relationship. There's never been any word said. We were a good testimony then. A couple weeks later, he was broken down on the side of the road. I stopped for him, to help him. You know, he thanked me for stopping and said he had a tow truck coming already. So we have been a good example of Christ, and this is not a situation. And believe me, Bob, this is not a situation that is because of parking. When they came to our house, when we called them several times, when we had a meeting with our attorneys and their attorneys, this issue never came up. It was only that we were in violation of a code. We had a land use situation that they did not permit. And because of that, we had to cease and desist.
Well, I appreciate you setting the record straight. And for our audience, I want to make especially sure the record is set straight. I read this citation, which any of you can read if you go to the Western Center for Law and Policy website, and they actually have a photocopy of the order, and it says, cease/stop religious assembly on parcel or obtain a major use permit. The word cul-de-sac isn't in there. The word car is not in there. The word dent in a car is not in there.
That's correct. And you know what really kind of bothered us? There's other pages that come with that citation. They, on the front, if you look at it, if you view it, it has where the actual citation is given, violation, and it's for fines, and that it lists 7703. And then at the cease and stop, it lists sections 2100 through 2106. Now, 2105 is the section for major use permit, and that's highlighted in religious assemblies highlighted. That's what we were to cease. And 7703 is the area for fines, which state what they had told us verbally. And, you know, the upsetting thing is that it also states there, if you read all these pages, there's nothing in there about parking. No, never were we asked, even to this day, were we asked, were you double parked? Was there a parking incident? Were you blocking the entrance to a neighbor? Was there access for emergency vehicles? Never had they spoken to us about it. Never had they gone to a neighbor about it. Never did they come out and discuss and look at our property. We own 2 acres, and so there's plenty of room to park. I've been checking it since the citation, and, you know, we've had 6 cars one night, 8 cars another night, and this last night we had 21 people. We had 10 cars.
Okay, my guests today are David and Mary Jones from South Bay Community Church. Hang with me over the break, please, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to Intelligent Talk Radio, KCBQ. If you would like to talk with our guests, we've been hearing so many conflicting ideas about this story of David and Mary Jones, pastors from South Bay Community Church. They were told that they could not hold a Bible study. That order has been rescinded. That's the good news. But the chilling news is that this kind of stuff continues to happen. We need to take a stand. 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. This is to get it straight from the horse's mouth, as the old saying goes. Pastor Jones and Mary, welcome back to our program.
Thanks again, Bob.
Now, I want to bring Mary on in just a moment, but let's go back now to the chronology so that we get it all straight. From the time that this fellow talked to you about the dent, and you were led to believe that it was all taken care of because you paid him a little over $200 to fix it, to the time when a county official first came to visit you, how much time lapsed?
Probably 2 weeks. That's just a guess. It's been 6-7 weeks ago.
Now, was this a police officer or some other kind of county official who visited you?
It was a woman. It was a county code, enforcement officer.
And she just came and knocked on your door? She didn't make any kind of appointment or anything?
No, she didn't. Matter of fact, she didn't even knock on the door. Our girls were playing in the front yard. She was out there taking pictures.
You're kidding me. Without even knocking on the door?
Pictures of cars, all the cars and their license plates.
That would be kind of freaky if I saw somebody doing that at my house.
Yeah, well, we thought it was kind of strange, but she asked the girls then to, is mommy home type thing, and they went and got mom, and she came out.
Okay, and so what were the very first words you heard from her, from your recollection?
Okay, let me give it to Mary, because Mary's the one who actually talked with her.
Okay, thanks. Welcome to our program, Mary.
Hi, thank you. Well, the first thing she said was she was coming in response to a complaint from a neighbor. And then she started to tell me what the complaint was about, this Bible study that we were having weekly.
So she said that a neighbor complained about a Bible study, not that a neighbor complained about cars being parked?
She didn't say anything about the cars being parked.
That's really, really interesting. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead and continue.
I knew already what the complaint was because we had already dealt with this neighbor in regard to the car getting dented and all that. So we already knew she was responding to. It was already in my mind. I knew, and also he had told me he showed me the dent in the car, he said he had gone to the sheriff department, the police department, and the county. And he says, and by the way, the county asked me if you have a permit for the Bible study. And right at that moment, that was, weeks previously, and I already thought, oh, my gosh, what are they going to say about, a permit for a Bible study?
And don't these permits cost something like $10,000?
Yeah, major use permit I happen to be familiar with because we built our church from the beginning, from the ground up, and we had to get a major use permit. And that's what I told that lady that asked about or, came in response to the complaint was, I told her I'm familiar with a major use permit. I said, just the very name of the permit, major use, is, pointing to something like a church, a large business, not a small Bible study.
Mary, did you have to pinch yourself to see if you were awake? This sounds like a walking nightmare. Where do they think we're living? The Soviet Union?
I was getting pretty heated inside.
I'll bet you
and
were.
I told her, I said, I'm not mad at you. But I am getting mad because this is supposed to be free America.
Well, you're a better person than I am because I would have been furious. This is an absolute outrage. Okay, what happened next?
So we just continued on this conversation that I couldn't believe. I said I was thinking that she was going to understand when I told her this is not, a church. This is a Bible study. It's not, needing a major use permit. But she insisted that it was needing a major use permit. And so she continued to ask questions. And one of the questions that she asked me is, she said, do you say praise the Lord? Do you sing songs? Do you say amen and pray? And that is when I was, having to pinch myself because I don't know even to this day whether I answered that question because I thought it was so bizarre.
So evidently the incorrect answer to those three questions would be yes.
I was like,
So what if you had said, no, we don't say amen, and we don't say praise the Lord, but we say thank you, Jesus. Would that have been okay?
Yeah, well, I figured out later after our conversation that what she was trying to do was establish that this was a religious assembly. And so, you know, then I thought, oh, okay, so what she was trying to, you know, say, you know, have as established was it was a religious assembly, which that's part of the code, is on the, you know, this code that my husband quoted is, you know, major use needed for a religious assembly.
Well, you know, we could draw a distinction between a Bible study that's not a Sunday morning church service, but isn't it also true that there are churches in the country that meet in homes? I belonged to a home Christian fellowship for a while, and there's really nothing in our Constitution that says that even if you had wanted to call it a church service, there would have been anything wrong with that.
Yeah, that's what I would think. I don't know how to answer that. I, you know, we have had home church. We called it home church, and we, you know, met in homes just, you know, as a special Sunday, too. So I don't know. I would think that the First Amendment would come in.
Was she friendly and congenial as she asked these questions?
She was very nice. Yes.
She was. Okay. Well, that's glad to hear that, at least. And then how long did that conversation last altogether?
Oh, I'd say 20 minutes or so.
20 minutes, and it was mostly grilling you. Do you do this? Do you do that?
It was me asking her, like, okay, so who does get to meet? You know, is it, you know, just church, or is it, you know, everybody? You know, and she said, well, for instance, and if an AA meeting was being held weekly in somebody's church in the county, then they also would have to get a major use permit. So.
Really? Now, why do I find that so difficult to believe? What about a Tupperware party?
Yeah, Tupperware, poker night.
Poker night or a committee meeting from a secular school, a gay activist meeting.
Yeah.
If Muslims wanted to meet, yeah. I don't think they'd say one word.
I actually asked Muslims.
And what did she say to that?
She said anything of that nature.
Yeah, she said anything, but I think we all know that if it had been anything else, she probably wouldn't have been there talking to you. I mean, who are we kidding?
Bob, this is one place where we felt like we haven't been able to convince the county or the public, actually, and they don't seem to understand. This is what it was. They have had a brilliant stroke of genius when they diffused this whole thing with simply saying it was over a parking issue and it's a parking problem. And we're saying, no, it wasn't. It may have begun with that. That was the complaint of a non-neighbor, just a visitor. But in every conversation, and as we go down and spend time praying about it and say, let's, you know, we're not going to go public. We're not going to make a big issue of this. We're going to just give it to and put it in God's hands. We're going to pray about it. We're, you know, going to call them up, which we did every conversation we had. And even to the time we had met in the county office with our attorneys and their attorneys, we were trying to keep it, and we told our attorney, we do not want this to go public. We do not want to be on the news. We want to just keep it quiet. But in every conversation, they were adamant that the issue was a Bible study.
Okay,
the
we don't...
We were having religious service, and we had to stop. And, I mean, we tried to define it and say, you got to be kidding me. We're talking about a Bible study. And they were clear every single time.
All right, hang with me over the break. My special guests, David and Mary Jones from South Bay Community Church. You've heard about it in the news. Now you can hear it straight from the source. They may not have wanted it to go public. We'll talk more about how they didn't want to go public on our public radio show when we come back.
How many times have you heard the phrase, they're all the same, applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home? Or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work, completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, when people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt. For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
I'd like to remind all of my listeners that The Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. Every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, you can hear City Voice. On this provocative program, my good friend George Runyon interviews a different local Christian ministry every week. You can listen to the show while driving to church, and don't be surprised, you may find it so interesting that you'll stay in the parking lot continuing to listen and skipping those Sunday school donuts. That's City Voice with George Runyon every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on our sister station, KPRZ 1210. But right now, you're listening to KCBQ 1170. My guests today, David and Mary Jones from South Bay Community Church, a courageous husband and wife. Pastor Jones refused to take no for an answer when he was told no in regards to whether or not he could hold a Bible study in his home, as he had been doing for years, as thousands do around San Diego and have been doing for years, as millions have done in our country ever since we've had our country. David and Mary Jones, welcome back to our program.
Thanks again, Bob.
You. So you were saying you didn't want this to go public. How did it end up going public?
Well, it was a mistake, actually. And what happened was our attorney told me, he called me up one day and he said, Pastor, I'm sorry, but it's leaked out. I emailed a couple friends, didn't give them names and, you know, your area or name of your church, but told them that there was a situation that was, you know, coming up in Bonita, you know, the county. Yeah, I think he said the county, San Diego County, and about the, you know, religious assembly and a Bible study and them telling us to cease and stop. From that, I think it went out to a couple friends, and somebody called the county and asked them. From there, it got on a news radio station and that, and it just spread like wildfire.
Well, let me say something in that regard. I appreciate the fact that you didn't want it to go public because it means that you're not sensationalist. But I've found that throughout history, it's usually the humble people who aren't trying to stir up a revolution that God ends up using. The rebels without a cause that are looking for trouble, God usually does not have much use for. And I've got to tell you, even though I very much appreciate the fact that you didn't want it to go public, I'm glad it did. And I'll tell you why, because things like this are happening all over the place. And people need to know about it. This can be a test case and an example. And you probably heard me at the top of the show talking about this priest who's getting in trouble in Phoenix. Yeah. And these are just the stories that are coming our way. How many of them are getting shoved under the rug? So I guess I'd have to say I'm glad it went public. And if there's anything my show can do to help you to continue to get the message out, because I know that the county's still trying to spread a not-so-true story about this. I have had Dean Broyles on my show twice before. He's welcome to come back on. You're welcome to come back on as this thing continues to progress.
Well, we really appreciate it, and that's something clear. We have found that most of the public, the people we talk to on the streets, I guess most would probably believe us there was a problem, but several have just been sucked into that smokescreen that it was just a parking issue. They never discuss it. It's been so frustrating because what you actually see when you look into their face and talk to them is you realize there's a different paradigm that they have about this idea of even the First Amendment religious freedom. See, I want to make it clear, and by the way, we've decided to write a book on this because what it is that the public is not aware that these codes are, you know, in the code section for, you know, assembly or religious use or whatever, and that they actually believe that they have a right to regulate us on this issue. And I said, you might think you can go to your house and do whatever you want to and that I can at mine, but when I go into my house, we're going to have a prayer and Bible study.
Well, what would be next, telling somebody that they can't have devotions and family prayer at the dinner table? I mean, this is such nonsense.
It's nonsense. It is total nonsense. I mean, there's been sometimes, just like you said, I didn't pinch myself that, you know, I sat there, though, I'd hold my head, and I said, I can't believe this is happening. And so we would try to convince them and talk to them in a rational way, and we were doing just what you said. We were our biggest concern was that we would be good examples of Jesus Christ. We were maybe overcautious because we've seen so many bad things happen, and then Christian looks like a bunch of whining babies, or they look like madmen or something. And so we understood that, and we didn't want that to happen here. We said, if anything happens, we're going to be a good testimony. So we tried our hardest until the fateful day that we had that meeting on Wednesday, where our attorneys were present, their attorneys were present, and I looked in their faces, and we tried to tell them, our attorney spoke, this is just not a service, this is just a Bible study, you think you're having a problem with definition of terms. And that's when they turned to their code book, and they made it clear that this was considered a religious assembly, it was a violation of the code book, and they just didn't know at this point how to move forward against us.
Well, again, even if we'd wanted to call it a religious assembly, I mean, the Constitution says Congress will make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting its free exercise thereof. If that doesn't protect a husband and a wife to have a Bible study, a prayer meeting, or if you want to stand on your heads praising God, what on earth does it protect?
Right. You're exactly right.
Well, okay. Also, if I could speak for just a second.
Sure.
So we heard on the newscast, they did go to the county, and they had a representative from the county say something like, we don't care what they do inside their home. You know, we are just concerned that it's a parking issue. But I personally heard this code enforcement officer that came to our house, she asked me, do you say praise the Lord, you say amen, you pray and sing songs? So, they're talking out of two sides of their mouth.
Well, and again, the actual written citation that they gave you, again, said cease, stop religious assembly on parcel or obtain a permit. Didn't say cease, stop using the code. I read a letter over my own show last week that was sent to me from the Humanist Society. They're actually on my mailing list because I had written a blog about this on townhall.com and had also forwarded a petition. So this guy, nice guy, really nice guy, but he writes back and he said all that. He gave the county line. He said, this is about a cul-de-sac. This is about a dent in the car. And I responded by email and also over the air. I said to him, well, then I have a simple question. If it was about the cul-de-sac, why didn't they just tell them to stop using the cul-de-sac? Why did they instruct them to stop the Bible study? I mean, I think it's pretty apparent what's really going on here.
Oh, it's absolutely right, and it's maddening. I mean, it is. And what's the other thing, Bob, that you can help us in, and I appreciate it, is this, is that the people don't understand that this is what their intent was. This is what they were trying to do. This is all they discussed. And they just got sucked in and just believed it, that it was, that it was a parking issue, and it wasn't.
Well, we won't let that mistaken impression go without hearing the other side. Hang with me, please, for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Projects don't just happen. Good projects are a result of a team of dedicated professionals, owners, architects, and contractors striving toward a common goal. Make OMP a part of your team. If you're looking for professional, knowledgeable experience for your construction project team, Oso Miller Pacific should be your first call. For over 20 years, Mark Miller has been providing project management and constructive services throughout San Diego and Southern California. As president of Oso Miller Pacific, Mark continues this tradition of providing the most professional services in the industry to the healthcare, commercial, and government construction markets. Oso Miller Pacific provides a full range of pre-construction services, including definition of needs, design team selection, concept budget generation, and construction services. This full range of services is what sets Oso Miller Pacific apart from its competition. Visit their website at osomillerpacific.com. That's www.osomillerpacific.com or call the offices at 619-449-0633. Again, the number is 619-449-0633. Good projects don't just happen. Call Oso Miller Pacific.
This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show four nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show, Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
My guests today, David and Mary Jones. This is the story you've been hearing about. It's made a lot of buzz for the last couple of weeks from South Bay Community Church, cited for having a Bible study in their home. David and Mary, welcome back to our program.
Thanks again, Bob.
Now, it seems that after you called the Western Center for Law and Policy and the heat was put on and some public negative publicity toward the county, it seems that they backed off right away, but as I understand it, they wanted to stick to their story that it was really not about a Bible study. So the heat was taken off of you and put on then, but then they wanted to historically revise it. Am I correct with my understanding of this?
I think that's pretty true that, you know, that's when they began to talk, you know, 100% then what we heard out of their mouth was this was a parking issue. I mean, that's all you hear their comment was. I think they learned some things, Bob, and if I had some time to even talk to you personally, I could share what that is. But this is what, you know, what I think they learned. I think they learned they cannot take the church head on. They cannot take a Bible study head on and just blatantly say, we're going to now demand a permit process or we're going to tell them they can't do it in their homes. So they found that out. There was an angry group of people that called them, and so they can't do that. So what did they learn? They learned terminology. They learned that all we have to do is say that it's parking, and many of the people, most of the people, most of America is going to back off. They also learned something else, though. They learned terminology, other terminology, and I'm sure it's coming up that we're going to see that this is going to become a safety issue. We're going to see that they come to somebody's house and they have to look, is there fire safety? You know, is there too many people in it? Is there a parking problem? Did they have, are they creating problem for a neighbor? Not even a neighbor, but just even a visitor that comes by and say, what's happening at that residence?
I think that's very insightful of you. In fact, I'll go you one more. We'll eventually hear how this contributes to global warming. Don't ask me how, but somehow. We're not concerned about the Bible study, but global warming, that's their sacred cow. Now, they have issued a public apology.
Yep.
Does this apology finally come clean and admit that it was about a Bible study, or are they still sticking to their story?
Well, you have it both. You have them saying it was initiated by the complaint, which it's accurate. That's why they looked us up, and that's why they found us. It does apologize that it should have never been issued, and that. That's good, but there is a concern here that I see a little bit of language that, again, they're going to be able to bring it up as a non-regulation issue, that they're not regulating a Bible study, but they're concerned over issues. And they leave you that in the letter when they say that this was a land use situation. Well, it wasn't land use. It's not how I can use my land or my home. That would be religious assembly, and then it's not an issue.
Now, is the Law Center, the Western Center for Law, are they still in dialogue with them to come even cleaner, or is this pretty much a case that's completely over and done with now?
No, they've invited us to talk with them, and Dean Broyles is in conversation with them, and I'm not sure. I think he needs to meet with them, and we need to talk about how they're going to rewrite the code, because if they don't rewrite the code sections, actually, and one could look them up, 2100 through 2106, their interpretation of 2105 and 7703. Now, I say that and mention that a couple times because if you do look them up, we, according to them, are in violation of that, and they feel they're adamant about that. And the penalties are worse than what you've heard. If you look up 7703 and you go down that, it states the $100 to $200 to $500 fines. But then it also says in there, and this is what they sent to our house. We have never told anyone this before, so it's first here right now. I mentioned it to the church for the first time. I read them the pages that we were sent in the mail with the citation, and it says this, that they have a right to come in to our house, and that if they see the infraction taking place, they actually call it the code violation, them and their deputies can arrest us and take us to jail.
This is absolutely chilling. Where do we think we're living? In ancient Rome, where we're supposed to have our meetings in the catacombs?
I don't know.
This is just unseemly.
Yeah, so we invite anybody who wants to look at the original paperwork. I mean, I have all the original copies still. They can look at it and see this is all we were sent. And they can understand how frustrated we are that some people and a lot of Christians and even, Bob, even pastors, that they had one pastor on the news on this issue, and he took the side of the county. He said, well, if it is, you know, it's parking, now that we understand this as this unravels, that you have to be good neighbors.
Is this an evangelical pastor or somebody from the World Council of Churches?
No, it was good question. Somebody from a very prominent, and I'll leave it that way so you can't guess who it is,
okay.
But somebody from a very prominent church in San Diego.
Oh, come on. Prize to the third caller who can guess. No, not really. But, well, that's too bad. I think there are a lot of Christians who I've met who, when these kinds of things happen, they go, well, you know what? It's not really our place to get involved with politics. We're just here to preach the gospel. And if we have persecution, that would be wonderful because it means the Great Tribulation and then Jesus is going to return. And, hey, I believe in the second coming of Christ, but none of us know when it's going to be. And
right.
We have as much of a right as American citizens to speak our mind and practice our religion as anybody else.
Right.
Well, how has your home life and or your church community life been affected by this? Are you going merrily along? Has it been disrupted? What's it been like?
No, actually, it's been good. Our people were excited. They've been shocked. Some of them mad. Some of them are encouraged by it. And actually, the night, there were 2 weeks that we were a illegal Bible study. And we, you know, some of them, the first night it happened, I asked for praise. This one guy has been out of prison for about 6-8 months. He raised his hand and said, this is the first illegal prayer meeting I've ever been to in my life.
Oh, brother.
And he laughed, and he was just, so some of them were a little giddy almost and excited about it.
Well, it's to their credit that they were courageous enough to come anyway, because, I mean, much as we think we've heard everything, still, when they make logic just stand on its head, it's always a little bit disappointing. What's it been like for you, Mary? I know it's not easy being a pastor's wife, and you're kind of involved in the church. And
Yeah, it hasn't been the only thing that's been different around here is we've had a lot of the news cameras coming and getting interviews, and the kids are kind of excited about that, and they go out and talk to all of them. But as far as feeling troubled, I have really felt only peace about it. I feel like it really has had just a little to do with us and a lot to do with whatever God has planned for this. I don't know. It's been a pretty amazing journey that we've been on, and so I'm kind of like sitting back in amazement watching it unfold and believing, you know, God has some purpose and plan in it. So it's just kind of cool to just be a part of it.
Well, it's like the old saying, some seek greatness, others have greatness thrust upon them. You've at least had an important mission thrust upon you because it is such a mirror reflection of where we are as a society today.
Yeah, we had very little to do with it.
Now, are the cameras still hanging around your house, or is that dissipated?
No, not now.
I imagine that could be exciting at first and then get old real, real fast.
Yeah, probably if it lasted too much longer.
Well, we're down to our last couple of minutes. I want to give you each a chance to say any last things you have. But before you do, I want to thank both of you so much for taking your time. And please, I'm serious, contact me if there's anything I or my radio show can do as this story continues to spiral.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bob.
Any last thoughts, admonitions for our audience out there?
I guess from the beginning, I was hoping, our agenda, I guess, was hoping that this would set a precedent that would protect our future. And I don't know if it will come to that. I hope it does, that maybe we can restructure the codes and we see some changes there, and that other Bible studies continue to remain free. Free to meet.
Yeah, the last thing we need are interpretive codes, because that leaves it up to judges who believe in judicial activism to start interpreting them.
Yeah. Well, Bob, and you know, one thing I would like to say this, the week that this was really hot and you know the shots were being fired. I was I went through one of the worst weeks of my life. I mean, it was very difficult. However, something that happened is to see the outpouring from the Christian community who heard it and were outraged by it, and the support and the prayers that went around the world. And we appreciate all those people and the calls and emails that we received, and the people that did support us. So we want to thank everyone for that.
Well, we thank you. You received all that support because courage is always an inspiration. And thank you to you, my friend. And thank you, David and Mary Jones. We'll see you next week, everybody.
The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.
Attention KCBQ listeners, there are some great programs going on at Heller Ford Hyundai and